Welcome back to the Jasmine Star Show. All right, story time, friends. Let's play imagination game. Imagine this. Your feet are in quicksand. You're clawing the ground. Your fingernails are scraping and you're trying to gain traction, that momentum to like get out. And no matter how hard you try, you're slowly sinking further and further. And that's when you realize you're stuck. Okay, so does this visual describe how you feel about social media? Like, does this visual of like that quicksand describe like how you're feeling about social media and your business and homeschooling your kids, and you're just like trying to keep it all together right now? Do you feel stuck or even buried underneath the idea of like, oh my God, I have captions to write, I have clients to serve, I have stories to record, I have dinners to make, there's laundry, who's doing pickup from our to-go orders? Okay, you're not alone. Let me tell you, there are more people that feel this way than you might think. And let's be real, I have been there too. This stuck feeling is the point where many people throw in the towel. Like I should just probably just, like, let's just say right now, friends, this is the point where a lot of people quit. And so if you're listening to this and you're not willing to quit, you're the minority. Congratulations. But it doesn't make it any easier. People feel like it's easier to say things like, oh, social media doesn't work for my business, or I'm not that person, or I can't do it all, so I'm not even going to try something new. They think it's easier to say that than to push through. But the fact that you're listening to this conversation and you have not turned it off yet, you are the few that have to make a cognizant decision to push through. Because the idea that life ain't for me, the I tried, I can't. There's other reasons why. There's like a new show on Netflix. No, that's not for you and it's not for me. Here's why. Success doesn't come to those who quit. Success doesn't come to those who stop. Success doesn't come to those who make excuses. Success only comes to the people who push through. And here's the thing. It's not like pushing through is a one-time thing. It's success comes to those who decide to push through every single day. But things are about to get a little uncomfortably real when we start talking about success. Because here's what I want to tell you about how I prepare for success, okay? This is what I want to say. I drink a green smoothie and I go on a 12.7-mile run. I bake cookies for the local library bake sale. I meditate in a sea salt bath full of lavender petals. I clean out my pantry for fun, and then I organize my goals in the same way I organize endless boxes of gluten-free macaroni and cheese. That's how I prepare for success. No, not at all. Like I can't even remember the last time I went on a run. Like the last time I ran was from my bedroom to the refrigerator for a snack. Okay? That's my life these days. Like the reality of my success planning today, I am recording this podcast at 5:07 in the morning to publish next week just before the baby wakes up demanding her oatmeal. Cause let me just tell you, baby girl loves her oatmeal. So I'm trying to figure out how to squeeze everything in before she's awake. Maybe we should talk about what I made for dinner last night, okay? And by made, big air quotes, because my husband ate a sandwich that was a leftover from the lunch that he bought that afternoon. I made myself a quesadilla. Most people wouldn't understand what that word is. Maybe I should say quesadilla. I made myself a quesadilla with gluten-free tortillas and cheese. And I was like, it's night. Bon appetit, y'all. Bon appetit. I hid a pile of clean laundry in my closet because I'm like, I'm going to avoid folding this. It's not going to happen. But I have to tell you, the reality of my success planning today, it's going to be I tried my best and I can't expect anything more for myself. And I don't think that you could do. So the truth is, planning for success is a lot harder than it looks. And it's taken me a long time to realize that. Last month, the company my husband and I founded, it's called Social Curator. And we had this thing called a super shoot. This basically means it's a marathon day. Like y'all, all day where we rent out a studio and we gather props and we hire models and we shoot hundreds of lifestyle images for our users, right? So they can have a gallery of images that they could be looking through, and then they never have to miss a day posting on social. So to be honest, I want to hashtag humble brag, right? Like what I want to say and what I would like it to look like on social media is like, look at all the planning and look how organized it is and look how effortless my life is. But the truth is, I can't take any credit. Sure, I held a camera and sure, we had planning meetings, but I didn't actually plan the shoot by myself. I couldn't. Like, I'm a new mom and I'm growing a business and I don't have time to wear like matching socks. You know, it's like I have much less time to even fold a pair of socks, much less plan a massive photo shoot. So what did I tell people to do when they are overwhelmed? You've probably heard it on the podcast before. I tell people that you can't get the help you don't ask for. So I asked for help and I got it. And this episode is a reminder that you can do the same. So for years, I could have had a t-shirt that said, I do it by myself, right? Like my business, my life, my dreams, I do it by myself. It would be a cheesy t-shirt, but I probably would have bought it. But the thing I didn't realize was that doing it by myself was the reason I was losing. I feel like I need to say that again. Doing it by myself was the reason I was losing. Now, other people might look at that and not think that I was losing, but I lost opportunities. I lost growth. I lost advancement because I was spread too thin and I couldn't do one thing well. And I have to tell you that asking for help was the only way I was able to get results I craved. And this was a recurring pattern in my life because I'm going to talk about like these instances where I was just like, yeah, thinking I could do it myself was the wrong way. So when I was a kid, I grew up obese. I struggled a lot with my weight. I still do. I think it's an ongoing process. I was 11 years old and I weighed 175 pounds. At 11 years old, I weighed more than my dad. And I was a short kid. I'm a short adult, but I was around 4 foot tall. So 4 foot tall, 175 pounds. Doctors were like, this is not healthy. And I struggled with my weight considerably until I was in college. Now, my freshman year of college, I was like, things have to change. I'm tired of this up and down. I'm tired of not having the discipline. So I'm going to take it on myself. And so I used everything from diet pills to extreme dieting. Y'all, once I lived on a diet of lemon cayenne water for a week. I did this extreme diet. Y'all, I drank lemon cayenne water for a week. Come on. When I was in junior high, I don't really talk about it. My parents have been really gracious with me, but I battled an eating disorder when I was 13 years old and had struggled with that until I was around 15 and I went up and down extremely in weight. Food was my best friend and food was my enemy. And it wasn't until I met a friend in college who helped me realize that food isn't anything but fuel for my body. If I stopped looking at food as a reward or as a punishment, and I simply looked at, I'm going to choose what I put in my body. It's just fuel. That I was empowered to choose the fuel that was going to make my body feel the best. She taught me how to find what worked for my body and develop a better relationship with food. I asked for help. I got it. And my life changed. Also, around this time in college and me figuring out and getting help, I struggled getting into law school. So I graduated college, I worked for a year, and I decided to apply to law school. And so I was working a full-time job. I was taking LSAT classes at night. And the whole process, it felt like a maze. And I ended up in dead ends. Now, for me, like this maze of dead ends was trying to go to law school. Now, you could probably think about a time in your life, or maybe you're feeling it right now, where you're like building a business like a maze and there's like a bunch of dead ends. So I was preparing for my application process and I read endless articles and books about the admissions process, but I still felt so lost. Y'all, I read every like US News and World Report rankings of schools. I read every, this is what should be in the application. I would pore over law student blogs to get insights on the things that I should be including. And I was like, I don't know. I did not know anybody in my life who actually went to graduate school, much less who went to law school. I had nobody to ask. And it was in the process of me calling admission offices around law schools that I was unrelentless in saying, can I please talk to anybody? I don't need answers. I just need you to point me in the direction of how to complete an application properly. And I didn't realize that by asking for help, even though I didn't come out and say, like, help me, I said, just point me in the right direction of getting help. I got help in the form of a guidance counselor from a law school admissions officer. So it's crazy. And this law school admissions counselor, he was this amazing, kind Black man who I think just took pity on me. I think that he divinely, let's just be real, y'all. It was divine that he happened to pick up the phone. It was divine that our paths crossed. And it was divine that I was just like, I don't know anybody. I don't know anything. Where do I go? And I just, honestly, what I think, and it's purely speculation, I think he wanted to see a brown girl have a good shot at getting into a good law school. I do. And what he did was like, okay, hey, this is my email. Shoot me over what you have. And I was really focusing on crafting a proper essay of getting in. And he reviewed endless iterations of my entrance essays. And then he helped reshape the way I applied. I will never forget what he gave me. He went out of his time to help a stranger. And I have to tell you that it was as a result of him giving insight in how I should craft my essay that I was accepted to 8 of the top 20 law schools in America. Y'all, I wasn't the most qualified. I had mediocre LSAT scores at best. Now, I did have straight A's in college, but the LSAT was the thing that was like holding me down. And he helped me craft an essay to explain that my personality from childhood was to look at difficult circumstances and find a way to get over. Y'all, he saw something in me that I didn't see in myself. My entire essay was laying out a case for I am not the smartest and I don't test well. And for all intents and purposes, I don't have any resources, but I'm the kind of person who remains undaunted. He saw it in me before I saw it in myself. And he helped me craft an essay to showcase that. And y'all, that mustard seed of faith has now become the foundation of what I help others to do, is to say, regardless of what you are looking at, and regardless if you are qualified, are you relentless? Are you undaunted? Because if you are, nothing's going to stop you. I would not know that that was who I am until somebody saw that in me and went out of his way to help when I realized that doing it myself was the reason I was stopping from getting into law school. He saw something. He responded to my ask for help and he went above and beyond. Now, years later, when I wanted to start a digital business. Now, having a digital business is different than having an online business because as a photographer and then as a photography educator, my business was online. Like I had a website and people can download items and they could watch educational resources. Like that was my business online. But to have a digital business, right? Like what is the structure for being a digital business? Like I was like, I don't know where to begin. I have no idea. And so I did what I normally do. I Googled and I YouTubed and I read and I researched and I tried doing everything on my own. And I was wasting like tens of thousands of dollars, right? Like I was being like, I'm going to get this and I'm going to get that. And also I was wasting so much time. I was trying to put together like a curriculum for myself that I could learn digital marketing. And it was just like, no, it was overwhelming. And I kept on hearing different things from different people and it ended up convoluting and confusing me. So what I decided to do was say, this is what I need. I need to find somebody I trust. I need to listen to what they advise and I need to deploy on that. So I decided to invest in a mastermind guided by somebody who would later turn into be a mentor. So I said, this is the most expensive business decision I will ever make. And I was like, I'm not sure. And I asked myself, could I make back what I invested in this mastermind? Could I use what I learned to make back what I invested? And the answer was yes. And so not only did I make back what I had invested, and I'll be very open, I spent $25,000 in a mastermind, which, OMG, right? That is a freaking car. Y'all, in some places around the world, that is a down payment on a house. And I'm out here being like, I'm going to invest in this mastermind. Now, for a daughter of an immigrant, for a girl from the hood, $25,000, that is just crazy talk. And it took me a while to figure out that if I learned something new and different in my business, that I would be able to at least make back $25,000 on the new education that I had learned. And I have to tell you, I did not make $25,000. That year, as a result of what I learned from that, I found revenue streams that exceeded over $400,000. When I was trying to do it by myself, I was losing. So what I learned throughout this process is I needed to have the courage to get help, because it wasn't easy for me to admit that I wildly struggled with my weight and then found somebody who would teach me how to fuel my body and brain. It wasn't easy to call endless loss goals and have people just say, we don't do that, or have people hang up or just leave endless messages where people just don't call you back. It wasn't easy to admit to a stranger on the phone that I just needed a way to begin. It wasn't easy taking and making a big investment on a mastermind without knowing if it was going to have a return. But I realized that the pattern in my life was, the more I built up the courage, the more I got the confidence, because I believe that courage comes before the confidence that we desire. And I have always helped people get there. And I'm here to help you however I can today. And even though I cannot reach out to every podcast listener, I do host live classes. And I do these live classes 2 or 3 times a year. And this live class is entitled How to Beat the Algorithm, right? I just slid that right in there. Like, this live class, the one that I am going to be teaching really soon, is the reason why I want to talk about the courage to ask for help. And the reason why I want people to feel confident is because oftentimes people are trying to market their business on their own. And I'm like, that's not necessary. You can get your post seen. You can stand out. You can get noticed. You can get sales on social media. So when people come to the class, I'm just like, even though I can't reach out one-to-one, I know that I can help you learn how to get your post seen by your dream customer. I can tell you what I've learned about the key things to get your followers talking back. You know, we're going to be having a live Q&A where people can come on camera and ask questions in real time so we could workshop. So the things that I do on the podcast, let's take it to real time. Let's get connected. You could save your seat for this 1 hour class, and you can head to jasminestar.com/live class. Now, before I let you go, I feel like I've been very honest. I feel like it's purged. Like, I feel like my soul has been purged, and I'm like, I hope this does not come across as oversharing, right? Like, I just shared about having an eating disorder. I shared about being a brown girl getting help from a black man who took pity. I talk about spending money that's just not what my family does. So it's like, if you've made it this far, God bless you. You know, like, just thank you for that. And now I think it's time for some tough love. Like, if you're here, it's time to be honest. I believe that the biggest obstacle that is standing between you and your business success is you. Yeah. Like, you're like, wait, Jasmine, I've just been so nice and I've heard all your stories and I'm still here. And now you're going to tell me that I am the thing that's standing in the way of my success? Okay. Of course, there are many unknown variables and there's outside factors that can come into play. But I have to tell you that you get to determine the path to reach your own version of success. You. So I believe, beautiful, sweet, thought-provoking soul that you are, I need you to step aside and I need you to get out of your own way. I need you to stop thinking that doing it on your own is the only way. I want you to embrace the uncomfortable. Because when you embrace it, that's what empowers you to keep moving forward. I need you to choose the hard work and keep moving forward. And when you feel overwhelmed, can you please ask for help? And then you will keep moving forward. I asked for help and I got it. And I know that you will get it too if you give yourself the permission to ask for what you need. And I hope one of the first things you'll do is to find it at jasminestar.com/liveclass. And I will be honored to help you find your help in our live class. And you can register for that at jasminestar.com/liveclass.